Thank you, Matt. I do want to put a little plug in for Norm. I've done Canning Hunger many times. Good, don't start it yet. but I've done Canning Hunger many times, and I remember there was one fella in our neighborhood. He's older gentleman. He said, "I'm giving this food to you because Lynn, you're my neighbor." And I ended up doing his funeral and did his wife's funeral as well. But the first time I did it, it was hard for me to go out. I just felt this fear. And I got a friend and we did it together. We went door to door. Every person gave to us. We had either there would be food that was on our lawn, or it was on our front doorstep, or it would be on their front doorstep. Everybody gave, and that really helped to break things loose. So anyway, thank you, Norm, for what you do. I want to just share with you, Matt asked me to share about starting a neighborhood initiative and finding people of peace. I want to start with this, just to imagine, if you will, if every person in your city who is a believer began to love their neighbors, the impact that it would have. Imagine if all of us who are believers in various cities began to see ourselves as missionaries in the neighborhoods in which we lived. Imagine if the whole church in a neighborhood began to work together to love their actual neighbors, the influence that we would have in every city across our country. I believe that's what's happening. God is up to that. But where do you start? I believe that there are two equal and wrong things to do when it comes to neighboring. The first one is to do nothing, and the second thing is to try to do things. And Jesus made this statement. He said, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. And I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing." And so really what it gets down to is working in partnership with the Father. It's the most exciting life you'll ever want to live. I call it living a Kairos life. In Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, in the King James Version, it says this, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." For years, I thought what that verse meant, based upon the King James translation, is that we are to fill our days and every moment of our day with activity, and also to make sure that we fill all of those days with a holy life. Now, there's nothing wrong with those things, but that's not what this verse is talking about. And really what it's talking about is in the NIV, which is a better translation, he says, "Be very careful then how you live or how you regulate your life, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity or every kairos." And if you go back a little bit farther up, or go back to verse 14, he says, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And what he's saying, he's really writing it to believers. We can be asleep and totally unaware of what is going on around us and what the Father's doing. But if we have our eyes open to see what he's up to, by doing this, being very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, for the days are evil. You become a person who is living a wise life, if you will. In the New Testament, there are two words for time. One is chronos, and the other is kairos. Now, chronos is a word that has to do with our clocks. It's where we get our word chronology. It's linear. It has to do with getting everything done in a day that needs to be done. You know what I'm talking about. It's having a checklist of all the things that we need to do and checking them off, and at the end of the day, feeling like we've accomplished something. But the question, really, have we accomplished anything in regard to what God is doing in the day? And so the next little slide there it really kind of lays out the difference between chronos and kairos. Chronos, as I mentioned, is linear. And kairos are those intersecting points in our daily lives where God has an opportunity for us to join him in what he's doing. And that's what's critical, is you begin to enter into living in those moments when God is up to something and God has something for you to do. That's why I believe that when Jesus shared the story of the Good Samaritan, which was a parable about there was a man on the side of the road that was beaten, and the priest and the Levite, they had just left temple service, and they were on their way down to Jericho, and they completely avoided the person that was on the side of the road. Because remember, the story was about who is my neighbor? And so, but it was the Good Samaritan who stopped. It was the Good Samaritan who cared for that person who was on the side of the road. He, the Good Samaritan, saw the kairos, saw the opportunity, and seized the moment. He redeemed it. And so when you have kairos, these are things that you want to redeem. Opportunities. I believe this is my own little theory. When Jesus gave that parable, what he was doing was communicating his kind of ministry through the most despised in his society. It was the religious people that didn't have time for the person on the side of the road, but it was the Good Samaritan who had time. The idea of kairos, they can be long or short. For instance, you have a certain amount of time to raise your children. That is a kairos, right? How many of you are raising children right now? Eventually, that kairos will be over with and it's gone. And so you want to redeem it during the period of time, and that's being wise to redeem it. Or it can be a very short moment, and we've all experienced this where we either missed the opportunity, didn't take advantage of it. You follow what I'm saying? And we've all had those experiences where it'll come about and you go, oh, I wish I would have. And so you begin to be sensitive to the Spirit of God in the moment. And that's how Jesus lived his life. If you read the Gospels, you'll see that he is seizing the moment. He is redeeming the time in the very moment that it happens. And so we need to redeem them. The thing about kairos is they often happen when we least expect them. You understand what I'm saying by that? They'll come up, and often they happen when we don't have enough chronos. Do you follow what I'm saying? And so we move on because we don't want to stop and minister to whatever the need might be in the moment. So how do you determine whether you're living a chronos life or a kairos life? I do believe that it's important that you get all the things done, or at least, you know, I think chronos is okay, but I think it's very important that we are given to living a life of kairos as well. In kairos, we can determine whether we're living a kairos life or a chronos life by our attitudes toward kairos experiences, to the moments. If you have an attitude toward the thing that happens in the moment, a negative attitude, you know, I'm not living according to kairos. My life is so filled with getting all these things done. But if you ask yourself in the midst of when one of these opportunities take place, God, what are you doing now? You begin to find yourself living in relationship with God in the flow of life. It's a completely different way to live life. It's a refreshing way, not always easy, but it's a refreshing way to live life. Let me give you an example. It was my day off. It was when I was pastoring, and I heard a knock at the door. We live in Porter Ranch. Some of you know about the gas leak there, but they also have a lot of winds. And we had a 50-foot tree in our parkway, and I heard a knock at the door, and I didn't want to answer the door because I had this sinus infection. I wasn't about to answer the door. No way. And you know what I'm talking about? It's just like that little video we saw earlier. I'm not going to answer the door. Then I receive a call from my neighbor across the street, Andra. And Andra says, Len, you need to look out your front door. Show the next slide. So the 50-foot tree came down from our parkway, landed on our neighbor's house across the street. But you can see this. It's a 1999 Camry. And this was a Camry that was owned by the house cleaner for the neighbors across the street. It was her first day on the job. And she absolutely loved her little red Camry. It was her Brad, if you know what I'm saying. She absolutely loved this beautiful new car, but it was completely crushed. She had no liability insurance. She lost everything when that tree came down upon her. And she said to me, she said, I know I shouldn't have parked there. I had this sense that I should not have parked there. And so my neighbor across the street a few days later said to me, which he had the right attitude. He saw Kairos in this. He said, Lynn, let's turn this tragedy into something good. And so what he did was, he said, let's cut up all this firewood and we'll sell it to our neighbors and raise enough money to buy a car for her. And I thought, I have an idea. I will call Dennis McCarthy with the Daily News and let him know about this story. And he wrote up an article about this story and asked people to give money toward buying this new car, buying a replacement car for her. And as it worked out, there were people from Long Beach all the way to Valencia that gave money. We ended up having enough money to buy this car, a Lexus. So when you begin to see life in this way, that things like my neighbor said, let's turn this tragedy into something good, that's what God does. Do you remember the story with Joseph with his brothers? He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So when you begin to look at life this way, rather than seeing yourself, you know, kind of a victim of circumstances, rather than God, what are you up to? What are you up to in my neighborhood? What do you want me to do? How do you live a Kairos life? This is how you do it. Very quickly, Dallas Willard, a good friend of mine who passed away, he said, Lynn, if you keep moving forward with what you're doing, we will see revival and awakening. Don't stop. He also said to me this. He said, don't ever try to make anything happen. So on the one hand, Dallas is telling me, you know, don't stop doing what you're doing. But on the other hand, he's saying, don't ever try to make anything happen. So what is the answer? How do you live life then? And this is what the Lord showed me, and it's in Colossians 4. But what the Lord showed me is these four things. When it comes to my neighbors, I pray for them by name every Tuesday. I walk the neighborhood, and God always gives me opportunities to talk with my neighbors when I do this. But I pray, I wait, and I watch. And then I join him. So I pray, and then I wait with great expectation because I've prayed. And then I watch to see what the Father's doing, and then I join him in the work that he's doing. And it's such a freeing thing. It takes all the burden off me trying to make something happen in my neighborhood. God is amazing, and he works in amazing ways when I do that. I look at it this way, and I wrote this up. That the living the Kairos life with the Father is like a little kid who is waiting for his dad to invite him on a new excursion with him. He knows that only dad can drive the car, and he waits for his dad to say, come on, kid, I have a wonderful surprise for you. Let's go. And off they go together with dad in the driver's seat. This is the Kairos life, becoming like a child and enjoying the ride with dad on an amazing journey through life. You know, the biggest struggle that we have came from the fall. Remember, God said to Adam, if you eat of this, you will be like God, right? Our biggest struggle is wanting to be like God. But before the fall, they were children. And what is the way into the kingdom of God? Unless you become like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of God. So the way in is the way on. Is being a little child in your neighborhood and saying, Dad, what do you have for me to do next? And we're partnering together in this beautiful work in neighboring. I want to just quickly close with, I got about 2 minutes. How do I find people of peace? Become an observer. Become an observer of people in your neighborhood. Jesus talked to his disciples in Sychar after the woman at the well realized who he was. He said, look at the field. They are ripe for harvest. You see the natural harvest out there, and it's 4 days until the harvest comes. But begin to look at the people out there that he was saying, they are ripe for harvest. So you want to become an observer of people. Where are they in relationship with God? And then also in Matthew chapter 10, he said, whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. In other words, what he's saying is make an all-out search for people in your neighborhood who are people of peace. Now, who are people of peace? Jesus says in Luke 10 that these are the people that welcome you. He also says this. He says, he who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. In other words, if they listen to you and they like you, you have found a person of peace. You'll begin to have this relationship. And really what it gets down to is that the burden is not on us, it's on them. If they like you. And it's not about us, it's about who's in us. If they like the Jesus who is in us, you have found a person of peace.